Amen. Praise the Lord for that special in song tonight. Let's all turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Jesus is the answer to every question, every need. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's a thought when we think of Jesus, when we think of his name, when we think of who he is and what he's done, it should bring us to a point of praise. It should bring us to a point of our faith being strengthened. We're looking here in Acts chapter 27, and we're going to read 31 verses tonight. So let's all stand together. Acts chapter 27, this is the account of Paul being taken to Caesar. He's there on the boat. He warned them of a storm. We're coming in halfway in this account here. And verse 14 is where we're going to begin reading. Acts chapter 27, verse 14. It says, "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. Which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. And the soldiers cut off from the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, then were they all of good cheer, and they also took up some meat, and we were in all the ship 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where 2 seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which would swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land." I want to speak to you for a few moments tonight on the thought of what are you anchored to? What are you anchored to? Let's pray. Lord, I love you. God, thank you for your word and for the privilege that we have together to be tonight here at church, God, and worship you and praise your name as we have. Lord, for the specials that were sung, for the message in them, and God, I pray that you be with us as we're looking here in the book of Acts tonight, that you would just open our hearts and minds to whatever it is you have for us. Be with me as I preach. I pray that you just meet with each and every one of us. We ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. In college, my wife and I were privileged to be able to travel for 2 years on a couple of the singing groups for Heartland. And one of the perks that came from that was being able to see so much of the country. We traveled from church to church, and I was able to go out west for one summer. And out west, I discovered what real mountains look like. I grew up looking at the Smokies and the Appalachians, and I absolutely love those. But I saw for the first time mountains with snow on them, and snow that just stayed at the top for months of the year. And it was just an awesome thing to see. And I remember a certain part of our trip when we were in Montana, there was a few days that we had off, and one of the men in this church owned a cabin in Montana. And we get there late at night, and we wake up the next morning, and we look out, and this is right on a lake, and on the other side of the lake were just all these snow-capped mountains. It was a beautiful place to stay, and we had a few days to hike and swim and do some canoeing and boating there in the lake, and it was just an awesome time. And most of us guys on the troop, 5 out of the 6, loved all of those kind of activities, but there was one guy on the group named Joe that had no interest in any sort of activity. He liked to sit and eat zingers most of the time. He didn't know how to swim. He didn't want to play any sports. And I remember that we're all there in the lake having a blast, and we are telling Joe he needs to go out and just be on the canoe and just see what the shore looks like when you're out in the water and just be able to be a little adventurous. And I remember as we're being very persuasive, trying to drag him onto it, trying to pick him up and just put him on it, throw him out. We couldn't do any of those things. And I remember I went and I jumped on the canoe and I rocked back and forth standing saying, "This is an untippable canoe. You can never fall in the water. You're going to be safe." And finally, we convinced Joe to go out by himself. So we got a life jacket and he got on the canoe and we pushed him off and there he went. For the first time in his life, taking a risk out there in the water. And as he's 100 yards out, he's out there and just admiring all the beauty around him. And he turned around and he's like, "Guys, this is awesome." And as he said that canoe tipped over in the lake. And even though he had a life jacket on, even though the canoe was still somewhat floating, he was holding on to the end of it, just screaming, scared to death that he was going to drown. And us guys, we swam the 100 yards out to him. And we saved his life, really. I'll never forget that day. You know, many times we are going through life and we feel like we have things under control. And just like that, things change. You know, we look at Paul and we look at these men, 260-something people that were aboard this ship. And Paul warned them of a storm that was coming, but they never expected it to be as bad as it was. And we go through life many times and we are going along living our life for the Lord, and just like that a trial comes and it knocks us off our feet and we feel like we're in the waves like they were here in this passage of scripture, being tossed about and fighting for their lives. And we look here, there were some experienced soldiers on board. There were this captain and the men under him. They were in charge of transporting all these prisoners for a very long trip and a long journey. It was something they had no doubt done for many years, and it also no doubt was not their first storm. They had probably been in horrible waves like this, and they had been in the water when the wind was blowing as it was and when there was rain. But we find described here that this was a storm that just was not ending. Day after day after day, it continued. They could not see the sun. Their boat was tossed about. And in an effort to save their own lives, in an effort to save the lives of the prisoners, to save their ship, they were doing everything they could. They were tying things up. They were throwing things off the ship. They were we find them as we continue to read, they were throwing anchors out in every direction, trying to stabilize it in any way they could. But none of that was working. You know, so often we come to a place in our life where we are just in these trials that are just tossing our lives upside down. And it just seems like it's a never-ending cycle, never-ending trial, and pain comes, and hard times come, and doubt comes to your life. All these difficult choices that have to be made, and we struggle and fight and come to a place where we run out of answers, just like these men did here in the book of Acts. In our church, there's people right now that are struggling with some major health issues. Things that they didn't expect to happen. People that are dealing with things with their heart. And there's several in the church that have been struggling with cancer or fighting cancer in the past couple years. There's people in here tonight that are probably struggling in their marriage. Husband and wife that may feel disconnected, trying to connect with each other, trying to fix things, but you're not quite sure how to do that. There's probably someone here tonight that has struggles with the job. Maybe just on Friday you had a meeting with your boss and received some unfortunate news or some warnings or some possibilities of things being shut down. There's people here tonight that are struggling raising their children. Or have a child that is rebelling against the ways you tried to grow them up in, knowing the Word of God, and they're not living as they should. Experiencing pain and struggle. And as we go through these things in life, many times we try to throw some anchors out in several different directions, trying to find some relief. And the pain can be eased. And answers that we look for in this world and help that we look for in this world can bring comfort at times, but most of the time it's not enough. We can throw anchors out in our life and in many different ways. All of us go through storms. Each and every one of us are going to go through trials in our life, and sometimes these anchors that we throw out are not enough. You know, there's people in here tonight that are blessed with good incomes and have money in the bank, but I could tell you tonight, and you could tell me as well, there's storms that money can't fix. You know, we live in a world where we have access to so many doctors and medical help and trials and all these great medications that have never been before, but many times that's not enough. Many of you are surrounded by incredible families, and you have kids and grandkids and brothers and sisters and family that loves you, that cares for you, but many times that family is still not enough. We can look online and we can Google certain answers to things, and we can go and find books on certain topics, on help that we need, and those things will bring relief for some times, but it's not going to fix the problem most of the time. And as we look at this text, we find some very experienced people that are trying to fix a problem, that are trying to save the people that were under their care, scrambling and panicking, running out of answers. And then we see a man by the name of Paul. He was on the same boat as the captain, that was on the same boat as the other sailors, but we find some panic and we find a lack of confidence. We find much worry on some of these men, but we find Paul, who was calm and confident. And as these sailors were throwing out anchors that were not enough, Paul was fastened to the anchor that always holds. And he was steadied in the storm. Tonight, I'd just like to take a few moments, some things that we can see from the reactions of Paul that can help us, some anchors that we need to be fastened to tonight. First anchor that we can be fastened to is the anchor of the presence of God. You know, in the middle of the sea, Paul knew that he was not alone. The Lord was there, and that brought great peace to Paul. And regardless of the storm that comes into your life, regardless of the storm that comes into my life tonight, if we have the same confidence that Paul had in his relationship with God, we can have faith that he is with us always. I'm reminded of Jesus in Matthew chapter 28 as he was ascending to heaven and giving his last message, his last charge of the Great Commission for everybody to go out and to reach others with the gospel and teach them and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As he's giving them that charge, at the end he said, "Lo, I am with you," what? Always, even unto the end of the world. The book of Hebrews speaks the same thought and says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I want to remind you tonight that we will never face an instant of life on our own. In your loneliest moment, you're still in the presence of God. Every step, every valley, every mountain, God is there. We are in the, and if we are Christians, you are in the presence of God at every moment. He is there. When those that you love are no longer with you, and when no one else is standing with you in this world, God is there. Even in the darkest days of your life, he's there watching, leading, protecting, being your God. Every night, we, with our kids, we try to put them to bed, and the boys have one room, the girls have another, and when we put the girls to bed, many times, some nights, it's just some stalling, but some nights, they're truly scared to be in the room by themselves, and they give me their reasons, and they ask what mom and I are going to be doing, and they want to know that they're going to be safe, whether it's a storm or some wind that they heard, or their brother's telling them that robbers are very close to the house, many different things that they'll do. But when they're telling me that they're scared, or they're asking me what's going to happen tonight, or if they're going to be safe, one thing that we always do after we tell them that God is with them, we say, and mom and dad are here. And I say, there's nobody's going to get to your room without having to go through me first, and I will stop them. I guarantee you that. And when we promise them those things, and when we remind them that we are there, it brings comfort. I want to remind you tonight that no matter what you're going through, you're in the presence of God. We have a promise where he's told us he will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. We need to be anchored to the presence of God. We can also be anchored in the promises of God. All them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And as Paul was weathering this long, terrible storm as the others were, the Lord came to him with a promise, and he reminded him that he was going to stand before Caesar. He said, I know it doesn't look like it right now. I know it doesn't look like you're going to make it, but you're going to stand before him. And he says, not only you, but those that are on the ship, there is not going to be a single person that is going to die. Everyone will be spared. And for Paul, that was all he needed. For Paul, when God sent the message to him and said, you're going to make it, everybody else is going to make it, that was all that Paul needed, was this promise of God. And Paul said what? I believe God. Amen. He knew that God was as good as his word. Paul proved that by his testimony, by his obedience to God on many different things that God had already instructed him to do. But in the book of Romans chapter 4, Paul said, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Paul knew that if God had promised something, he would deliver. You know, a promise is a statement we can depend on with absolute confidence. I want to tell you tonight that if God has promised something, we can have absolute confidence. In the Word of God, I have 12 things down, that 12 promises of God. The first thing, as we already mentioned, we have a promise of the presence of God, where he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have a promise of the protection of God. He said in the book of Genesis, I am thy shield. We have a promise of the power of God in Isaiah, where he said, I will strengthen thee. We have a promise of God's provision in that same passage where he says, I will help thee. We have a promise of his leading, and he says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. We have a promise that God has a purpose when he said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. We have a promise of rest in God in the book of Matthew, when it says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We have a promise of the cleansing of God in 1 John chapter 1, where he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have the promise of the goodness of God in the book of Psalms when he says, no good thing will he withhold from them that work uprightly. We have a promise of God's faithfulness when he says, the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. We have a promise of the guidance of God when he says in Psalms, the meek will he guide. And we have a promise of God having a plan when he says in the book of Romans that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, the promises of God that we have are based in and on his word. You know, there's been many times in my life where I've been going through a trial, or there's been a storm in my life where I've been settled in pieces and brought to my heart with the reminder that our God is a promise keeper. A commentator did a study and he found 8,810 promises in the Word of God in his study. And almost 7,500 of those promises that we find in the Word of God are promises from God to man. We need to understand that our God is a promise keeper. And if all the promises in his word, are looking through all 7,500 of those promises, you will not find one that has been broken. And I want to encourage you tonight that no matter what life is bringing at you, we have a God that keeps his word. And a God who will do what he's promised. An old country preacher, he said, you can't break God's promises by leaning on them. Cannot lean too hard, you cannot hold too steady. Those promises will never waver. We have the anchor of the promises of God, the anchor of the presence of God. Third thing tonight, we have the promise of the will of God. Verse 24 says again, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." You know, Paul's told by the Lord that the storm is part of his plan. And even though the storm was treacherous, even though the storm was threatening lives, because it was the will of God for Paul, it was the safest place he could possibly be. God is sovereign. The Sunday school series that we had just gone through several weeks ago, we spoke of the attributes of God, and one of those weeks we spoke on the sovereignty of God. And understanding the fact that God is always in control. And if he's allowed something to come into your life, it is his will. Whether to bring you back to him or to teach you, to grow you in your Christian walk. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1 that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's no doubt there's many of us in here tonight that are going through a storm. And we may feel like these men were on the ship being tossed about, and you've tried everything you can. And you come to a place in your life where as this trial is never ending, this health problem is never ending, this problem in your relationships is not ending, the job situation still hasn't been fixed. And as you're going through these things that just continue to go on and on in your life, many times we can grow bitter, or we can come to a place where we may want to give up, or we look at this as a curse on our life. And if, I want to tell you tonight that if God has allowed something to come into your life, it is because he's allowed it to. It's something he's brought in to bring a change in your life or something to help you. And we need to look at these things not as a curse, not as just an inconvenience or a nuisance, but see it as the will of God, as the gift that it is. Now, if God was not truly on the throne, why would we want to live on this world another second? But understanding that God is who he is and who he's promised us he will be for us, and understanding that everything that happens in our life is for a purpose, we can be thankful in the storms. We need to look at those things he's allowed us, his will. As we look at the story in chapter 27, we see Paul receiving the greatest promise of the Lord for himself and all aboard the ship, and he's passed it along to the men. But they continue to try to take things into their own hands, and we see them tying things up and throwing out anchors. Some even tried to jump off the ship thinking they had a better chance on their own than on the boat. Even in the face of the promise of God, the men in the ship fought, they feared, they doubted in the storm. And again, we find Paul enjoying the trip because he believed God. We look at this past year that we've dealt with, from the coronavirus to the political landscape that we're now in, to the rioting and the wickedness and the hate that we find all throughout our country and the world. And we see all these things that are going on, and there's so many Christians that I've heard it. We've talked about it. We've joked about it. But there's so many that are just tired of all of it. And we look at it just wondering why. What's the use of us still being here and trying to live and make a difference? Nobody wants us anymore, and people aren't going to change. We can't help them. But if you are here tonight, if you are living today, God created you and intended for you to live at this time. And in 1 Corinthians, there's a promise that says, "There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." And in Revelation, we see the truth that we are created for the glory of God, to bring glory to him. And if God created us and brought us into this world at this time, then at this time we need to live for God. At this time, we don't need to just step back and let life go by. We need to take a step forward. And we need to understand that the hard times we may find ourselves in, and the trial you may find yourself in, and the waves that continue to pound, the wind that continues to blow, the sky that looks dark at the time, God intended for you to live in that storm. It has a purpose in it. And if you're in a storm, it's exactly where God wants you to be. We can still be anchored to his will. He's anchored to his presence, his promise, his will. And lastly tonight, he's anchored to the work of God. All these things are going on. The storm continued to hit them over and over again. And we find at the end what God had promised came to pass. It says in verse 44, "And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land." What God had told Paul came to pass. And Paul understood that God, being the promise keeper, is a God that works. A God that does things for him. A God that delivers. And he had witnessed the work of God so many other times in his life, to when God told him something was going to happen, he knew that God would work in this circumstance. And he made it safely to shore. Whatever you're dealing with tonight, God is able to work it all out. And you may be in the boat tonight, and you've been rocking back and forth, and the storm has been never ending, and it may look like you're about to sink. It may look like that storm in your life's about to prevail, but can I tell you, when the waves have settled down, when the rain stops to fall, when the sky opens up, you'll see that God was in control all along. Corrie ten Boom, she wrote on the working of God in her life, and she said, "When Jesus takes your hand, he keeps you tight. When Jesus keeps you tight, he leads you through your whole life. And when Jesus leads you through your whole life, he brings you safely home." I want to remind you tonight that no matter what the obstacle is, no matter what the trial is in your life, we have a God that in whom nothing is impossible. We look in the Word of God and find evidence of this. We find a group of many people in the book of Exodus that had just been let go from Pharaoh, and they're surrounded with the Red Sea on one side, the Egyptians on the other, and God parted the Red Sea. Later on, they got water from a rock. Food fell down from heaven. This morning, we looked in Sunday school in 2 Kings chapter 7, and we see a city that was being choked out, that was dying, that had great famine. And God brought them in 24 hours exactly what they needed, with lepers. We look in the New Testament, we find thousands of people that had followed Jesus out in the wilderness where there's no food, nothing to eat, and with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, Jesus fed them all. We look at the end of Jesus' ministry as he died on the cross, and he's been buried for 3 days. Everybody thought it was over, but God raised him from the dead. You know, the fact of the matter is tonight that he did not save you to lose his grip on you in a storm. No matter what it is you're going through, he is there. And he has a desire to use that in your life, and we just need to be anchored to the fact that our God is a God that works. As an uncle, I've been known in the family to be one that has accidentally hurt his nieces and nephews on several occasions. It's kind of a running joke when we're all together, where they put helmets on the kids or pat them up. Now, I remember several years back, we were all at the pool at Grandma and Grandpa McGath's house, and the kids were playing, and we see as they're playing, a couple of the younger ones were getting a little too close to the pool, and then one of the kids got out the net that was there that they used to clean the pool out and get the bugs and leaves out of it, and I saw the danger there, so I went to save the day, and I went and grabbed the net, and I don't want any kids to be hurt by this, so I grabbed the net, and as I turn, 10 foot to my right, hit a 2-year-old Harrison in the back of the head, knocked him in the water. And it was, as that happened, it was in slow motion somewhat, and people are gasping, and I see what I just did, and just maybe 2 seconds after that, I bend down, I grab him by the foot, and I pull him out, and it saved his life. I almost killed him, and I saved his life all within 5 seconds. And as embarrassing it is for me to tell you that, and I know I'm going to hear about it in a little bit, it was an illustration of the fact that for that two-year-old, as scary as an instance that was for him, as an adult in reach of him, it was under control the whole time. And there may be some of you here tonight that are completely overwhelmed. It feels like you've been hit in the back of the head and knocked into the deep end, and you're struggling to just stay above water as much as you can, and you're fighting, and you're going against these trials, and you're doing everything you can. Can I remind you tonight that God is there? And he can grab you and protect you and keep you. And we don't need to worry about so much being anchored to the things of this world, but we need to do everything we can each and every day to anchor to the God who keeps his promises and will never leave us nor forsake us. And I just want to ask you tonight as we're closing, what are you anchored to tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's a very simple thought tonight. So often it's very easy for us as Christians to get off track, off focus, and trying to fix so many things on our own when we have assurance of the fact that God is always there. And what we need to do most of the time, all the time, is trust the God who has promised us he will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we love you, God. Thank you for your word, and thank you for just the service we're able to have together tonight. I pray that you just bless this time of invitation. We ask this in your name. Amen.